This is DJ Frederick Moe. You're listening to Free Radio Skybird on channel 292, 6070 kilohertz, shortwave.
Record made at Edison House, Northumberland Avenue, London, August 2nd, 1890.
I am Trumpeter Lansley, one of the surviving trumpeters in charge of the Light Brigade in Ballantown. I am now going to sound the bugle that was sounded at Waterloo and sound the charge as was sounded at Balaclava on that very same bugle. On the 25th of October, 1854.
Thank you. Setting suns and lonely lady, windswept lady, rules the night, the waves, the sand. Green-eyed lady, ocean lady, child of nature, friend of man.
And spend the night if you think I should.
Well, hello, it's me. This is DJ Frederick Moe. You're tuned to Free Radio Skybird on channel 292, 6070 kHz shortwave. On Free Radio Skybird, you'll hear library music, folk music, jazz, easy listening, and independent music from the past century of recorded sound. Coming to you from the hills of New Hampshire, it's Community Radio for Shortwave. I'd like to tell you a little bit about the town where I live. It's called Warner, New Hampshire. And Warner is situated in the Dartmouth-Lake-Sunapee region of New Hampshire in the western part of Merrimack County. And that's all part of New England. Warner is 18 miles northwest of the capital of New Hampshire, Concord. And the village is pleasant and picturesque with the neatness evidence in all surroundings. Now, at the center of Warner is Mount Kearsarge, which is 2,937 feet above sea level. And from the summit of Mount Kearsarge, you can see the White Mountains, the Green Mountains, the New Hampshire and Maine coasts, and some of the tallest buildings in Boston, Massachusetts. In early May, every year in Warner, we have the annual Spring into Warner Arts Festival, which is sponsored by the Kearsarge Area Chamber of Commerce. And in October, it's the famous Fall Foliage Festival, which draws thousands of people to Warner from all over New England and the world. Now, if you would like a QSL or would like to correspond with Free Radio Skybird, my address is 36 West Main Street. That's 36 West Main Street. Warner, which is WARNER, New Hampshire, 03278, USA. QSLs are only available for postal mail correspondence and at least a $2 donation to cover my costs for return postage. As a station policy of Free Radio Skybird, I do not send EQSLs, so if you email me, you will not receive an EQSL. It's postal mail only. Again, the address is Free Radio Skybird, care of DJ Frederick Moe, 36 West Main Street, Warner, New Hampshire, that's abbreviated NH. The zip code is 03278. Thank you. And toward the end of the program, we're going to hear a documentary about Liberace and a steel drum band. But until then, we're going to play some more music. I received a CD this week from a band called Black Balloon. We're going to hear the title track from the Black Balloon CD. It's called Maribor. Thank you.
your silver in my tambourine. Help a poor boy build a pretty dream. Give me pennies, I'll take anything. Now listen while I play my green tambourine. Now listen while I play my green tambourine. Watch the jingle jangle start to shine. Reflections of a music that is mine. When you toss a coin, you'll hear it sing. Now listen while I play my green tambourine. Now listen while I play my green tambourine.
You're listening to Free Radio Skybird, and this is DJ Frederick Moe. You just heard Jack Wilson with Blue Satin. Before that, from a privately released LP back in the early 1980s, Gary Schneider with a cover version of Green Tambourine. We started that set off with a long, flowing jazz piece by a group called Black Balloon. The song was called Maribor. Well, if you're interested in corresponding with Free Radio Skybird and sending a reception report, please include the date, time, and frequency of the broadcast and the quality of reception at your location. Tell me something about yourself and your community or your hobbies. I'd like to hear some comments about what you heard on the program, what you liked, what you disliked, what you might like to hear in future programs. Let me know if you have any musical requests, and of course, donations for return postage are much appreciated. I'm asking for $2 USD. That's $2 or more. So please send what you are able. The policy of Free Radio Skybird is to offer QSLs for postal mail only. That's postal mail only, not email, no exceptions. And also, please, if you're going to send a donation, please send cash. Do not send postal coupons. I cannot possibly use them. And if you're curious about the music that you've heard on Free Radio Skybird, a playlist will be included with the QSLs at your request. So simply ask for the program playlist. Now, the mailing address to send reception reports and correspondence to is Free Radio Skybird, care of DJ Frederick Moe, 36 West Main Street. That's 36 West Main Street, Warner, WARNER, New Hampshire, zip code 03278. That's 03278, United States of America.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. It's Fat Tuesday, Mardi Gras, Carnival, as they celebrated in countries such as Brazil, El Salvador, and Trinidad. Today, Lost and Found Sound takes us to Trinidad for a story about the birth of the steel drum, or pan, a carnival tradition. The Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson and Nikki Silva, unfold the tale of the legendary pan drum orchestra and the flamboyant American piano virtuoso who championed them. Here's the story of Liberace and the Trinidad Tripoli Steel Band.
Expo 67 in Montreal. I was 14 and went there with my parents. One day, I was walking along between the Ontario Pavilion and the Iran Pavilion, and I heard this sound that was like a luminous cloud, metallic and rhythmic and lyrical, and I followed this sound through the pavilions until I got to this sort of balcony on one pavilion overlooking a body of water, because the whole fair was on islands in the St. Lawrence River. And across there, on a big open deck, this band was playing. Guys beating on cans, big like garbage cans. I'd never heard anything like it. Who could resist?
We played at the Trinidad and Tobago Pavilion 2 or 3 shows a day, 28 guys in a group. And we played all kind of music, from classics to calypso to polka, jazz, you know, some of everything. And while we were performing, the Liberace saw the band.
The Trinidad Tripoli Steel Band. At that year, we were the best steel band in Trinidad and Tobago.
Thank you very, very much. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm anxious to have you meet a very exciting musical organization that I discovered at the Expo in Montreal, Canada. They're making their first national television appearance tonight on the Ed Sullivan program. This is Hugh Bordy, their musical director. The exciting Trinidad Tripoli Steel Band.
Mm-hmm.
We was always shining. Before we met Liberace, we were shining. We were always a very colorful band dressed in lamé. This is Tripoli Pinehead. When we left and went away, this is where we left from. And I'd like, now in Tripoli Pinehead, we have over 180 players there waiting. And the yard packed with people, outside packed with cars. And then we started practice. And the practice is going to go till 5 o'clock in the morning. It was so serious, it was like war. It was close to war. The people who really started the steel drums in those days were the poor, underprivileged person. They were considered as hooligans. My uncle, as a matter of fact, stopped coming to our home here because we playing the steel drum. My mother, who was his only sister.
My father, Hugh Board, leader and founder of the Trinidad Tripoli Steel Band. I'm Emile Board. My dad came from an upper middle class family. His dad was a pharmacist. It was a disappointment when he turned to the steel drums. The family wondering why would he associate himself with what we called back then vagabonds. Sort of like how Rasta music, reggae music, started in Jamaica with the lower class and worked its way up.
My name is Abby Ali Bokas. I am 65 years of age. I'm an original member of Tripoli Steel Band. In those days, you know, you couldn't go to high school and be in steel band at the same time. Who went to high school had to discontinue more or less associating with steel band. We had an English society, and anybody who was associated with steel band was stigmatized.
Beating pan or dancing in the street, it was a disgrace. You see, the poorer class of people could not afford piano music and all this, so the boys just invented ordinary steel drums. But they were tuned, they played a note, do re mi fa sol la ti do. They played the music by ear, sweet pan music.
Junior Bouchette, steel band leader and arranger. There's different opinions on exactly which particular day at what time the steel band started. You know, you have several claims. The forerunner of the steel band, there was a certain thing called the Tambu Bambu Band, which existed in the 20s and 30s in Trinidad, made of different lengths of bamboo shoots and bamboo gourds that were very rhythmic, and carnival days, this is what the local people danced to.
My name is Ellie Manette. People call me the Stradivarius of steel drum. I started playing trash cans around 11 years old in 1937, 38, throw the garbage out and beat on the bottom. The steel drum was born in a very humble way, from African skin drum to the tambu, to the garbage can, to the paint containers, into what we have today.
Welcome back with Liberace. What a great discovery that group are, aren't they?
Yes, this is the Trinidad Steel Band. They've been with me about a year and a half. The music of the steel band has only been around since after World War II, when the island of Trinidad was practically swamped with empty oil drums, such as you see here.
Due to the fact that the steel drum had such a bad reputation, in the early 40s and 50s, we could not get drums to buy, because the Shell Oil Company and the British Petroleum, nobody wanted to sell you a drum. But the Navy, using a lot of oil, thousands of drums pile up on the back of the warehouse a mile high. When the guards are all gone, we will go down there as young boys and steal the drums away from the Navy base and run away with them and try to build them for carnival.
When Roosevelt came to the land of the hummingbird, shouts of welcome were heard. When Roosevelt came to the land of the hummingbird, shouts of welcome were heard. His visit to the island is bound to be an epoch in local history, definitely marking a new era between Trinidad and America.
Calypso and steel band, it always go hand in hand, because when the steel band first started, all they used to play was calypso music. In those days, all the names of the bands came from movie war pictures, like Casablanca, To Hell and Back, Desperados, Destination Tokyo, all these names from the old-time movie, War Pictures. And Tripoli came from the movie with John Payne and Maureen O'Hara, The Shores of Tripoli.
If you played in Renegades and I played in Tripoli, and one of us had to cross an intersection, it would be riots. We had riots among the bands.
My name is Michael Kernahan. I started playing pan within the Tripoli in 1963. The Tripoli band really came to prominence with our arranger, Junior Pushet, for his arrangements for Gershwin's The Man I Love. We went to the Independence Festival competition. After the impact we made, Esso approached the band and sponsored the band, you know, and uniforms, and it was no looking back after that.
My name is Shannon Dudley, and I'm a professor of ethnomusicology at the University of Washington.
Sponsorship of steel bands was a really important development around the time of independence in 1962. When Eric Williams became the prime minister, he really put the screws, especially on a lot of international companies, to sponsor steel bands. And because, of course, the oil companies were all foreign corporations, they really wanted to get in good with the new government. If Eric Williams promotes the steel band as a symbol of Trinidad's new independent culture, many oil companies were eager to get on board with that and to associate themselves with that symbol.
Hugh Boyd, band leader for the Trinidad Tripoli Steel Band. Our sponsors, Esso Standard Oil, they brought us to the pavilion in Expo 67. We really had a wide repertoire and play music that could be reached by the outside world. When we play in places like Colorado and Kansas, people always say, are you going to play Rondo Capricioso? Or are you going to play Paganini? Or are you going to play Handel Messiah?
Audience at the Liberace show, 99% white people. You know, the response was great. I remember we playing for like a black audience, and you know, and I don't know, they didn't appreciate what we were doing. We were playing a lot of classical music, and they wanted us to play something by James Brown, and, you know.
This is John Squaggett from the John Squaggett's Nugget Hotel Casino in Sparks, Nevada. We never questioned any sporting act the Liberace brought in. It'd be the greatest surprise of the year. Our early showroom was, we called it the circus room at that time, because we had two elephants on stage. Bertha and Angel. But here's Liberace, and with his, you know, how he had that full-length mink coat. He'd come in on Bertha, and more jewelry. He had so many rings he could hardly hold up his hand. And he had the little angels of Korea, and they were on cycles. But I think one of the outstanding groups was the Trinidad Tripoli Steel Band. All these natives from Trinidad came in and playing music from Fitzgerald oil drum. A lot of puff sleeves, a lot of calypso clothes, you know, like from Trinidad. To see that many people from Trinidad up in Sparks, Nevada was, because we do not have a very many people that color of that skin in this area. People just were just overwhelmed by their music.
We were touring as 27 black people with the Liberace show, all in Birmingham, in the South. In those days, Governor Wallace was going up for election, and Lee took a chance.
Liberace!
The only thing I was curious about is where they got the idea for their costumes.
It's clear you have a great influence
on
people.
You can see Liberace.
Liberace never did get a chance to come to Trinidad. We broke a lot of barriers with Liberace because of the music. As music, we all know, is one of the wonders of the world and could go through any barrier.
You've been listening to Free Radio Skybird on Channel 292, 6070 kHz. Please send correspondence to Free Radio Skybird, DJ Frederick Moe, 36 West Main Street, Warner, New Hampshire, 03278. I'm looking forward to hearing from you.
Left the one I love on one of the thousand islands.
Arthur Godfrey was a 50s TV and radio icon, but not such a great tour leader. You're on the sound beat.
So I row, 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 row up the River St. Lawrence, and I'm hollering, Florence. Oh, where can you be?
Where can she be?
You're listening to the Thousand Islands Song, a Columbia 78 recorded in 1947. The archipelago lies in the St. Lawrence River on the U.S.-Canadian border. There are actually about 1,800 islands, each passing the stringent criteria of A, being above water level year-round, B, having an area greater than 1 square foot, and C, bearing at least one living tree.
I mustn't take a nap, gotta watch the map. That was Island 793.
That island mentioned there, 793, is an actual one, belonging to Arthur Godfrey. That's right, it was gifted to him by Grant Mitchell of the Thousand Islands Admiralty in appreciation of the song. For more on the story, visit soundbeat.org or check out our Facebook page right now. Soundbeat is produced at the Belfer Audio Archive, Syracuse University Libraries. I'm Brett Barry.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for this broadcast of Free Radio Skybird, community radio for shortwave listening, coming to you from the hills of New Hampshire. I'm DJ Frederick Moe. Thank you for listening, and always keep your radio free.